All right, good evening, everyone. I am glad to finally be with you. For those who don't know me yet, my name is Alan Dunlap. Some of you, I know some of you remember, but a lot of you probably don't. I spoke at this conference in 2017. So that was 6 years ago, so a while back. I was saying to some people, it was funny, when Nolan was speaking last night, he asked like how many people were over 24, and I realized that last time I spoke at this, I was 24, so it was a while. I'm 30 now, so you know, a while back, but it's good to be back with all of you. I'm gonna plug this in, William, if it's on. Great, thank you. But anyway, yes, I was supposed to be here last night, flying. I live in Detroit, Michigan, and I drove across the border to fly out of Windsor. Flight got delayed, so I had to spend the night in Toronto and finally made it in this morning. But happy to finally be here with you guys, and I'll be sharing the next three sessions, this one, the next one later tonight, and then tomorrow morning with you guys. The topic that William and I think the committee sent to me was to think about confidence in our faith, which I was excited to think about because faith is something really just in the last 2-3 years I've really just been trying to think about, like, what is it actually, what does faith actually mean? Sometimes, I don't know, for me personally, it felt a lot of times like it was presented to me as like this confidence or like this absolute, I know everything kind of belief. And faith never feels like that for me because there's always questions. There's always things we grapple with. There's things in our life that kind of shake our perspective and make us question these things. And I think that faith is something, for me is a thing that I spend a lot of time thinking about. Why does the Bible actually present it? What is there to, you know, what are ways we can think about it? And then more importantly, what I think the biggest thing for me that I keep coming back to is, well, what does faith look like as an output in my life? Okay, so I say I have faith. I say I'm a person of faith, right? That's the way a lot of people describe it. Well, what does that actually look like? Is it just a verbal claim, right? Is it just a thing that happens to me after I die or a thing that fulfills itself after I die? Or is faith a bigger part of that? And I think there's a lot of different, the Bible gives a lot of different answers to how we should view these things. There is something for us after this life, according to what the Bible says when it comes to faith. But a lot of what the Bible is focused on is very much what faith does for us in this life and what it looks like for us as we live out our day-to-day realities. And as we go through new things that come our way, right? We go through life phases. And in the last 10 years, it's more than that now. In the last 15 years, I have, you know, graduated high school. I have moved to my parents' house. I have gone to college. I have graduated college. I have moved to a completely new city. I have switched careers. I have done all sorts of things, and life keeps changing. And different things happen to me. Different things shift my perspectives on things. Different things rattle me. Different things bring me joy, right? All these different things, and what does faith do in the midst of all these different things as we go through the day-to-day of life, right? You meet new people, right? How does your faith look to them? Look, you know, what does it look like to them? All these different questions. So three big things let me get my notes out here. But the three key things I want to focus on as we think about these things over the next three sessions here is one, what is, and this will be the first one we'll do right now, is what is our faith in, right? What do we believe in? How does the Bible present what our faith should be in? And then two, what is the output of faith? What does faith look like in a day-to-day reality for the person who belongs to God, the person changed by Jesus Christ? And then three in the morning, we'll look at what is the mindset of faith? What should the mentality of faith be? How do we keep growing in faith while also resting in it and feeling confident in it as well? So those are the three things we'll look at. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start here on what is our faith actually in? And I'm not going to say anything groundbreaking or earth-shattering here. Our faith, as we would say it simply, is in Jesus Christ, right? I think for me, for many years, it was sort of, I would describe it as, well, faith is believing that Jesus died for me and that I go to heaven, right? And I think that's a fine answer, but I think there's a lot more to it that takes study to dive deeper into. There's the growth in Jesus Christ. Once you come to know him, it describes us as babies, right? And that we need to grow spiritually in the Lord. And I think there's a big part there. So what is it exactly that God was doing through Jesus Christ? And 2 Corinthians 5 was a passage that really helped to frame this for me. It's a passage I've really grown to enjoy thinking about. And it has the key verse in here that you'll probably recognize. Maybe you'll recognize all the verses, but there's one verse in this passage here that we're going to look at that that I think many of us know. But I just want to think about, what is it that we have faith in Christ doing in our lives? That's really what faith is, right? Faith is the hope that we have through what God through Jesus Christ is doing in our lives. And we'll talk about it tomorrow morning, but in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I want to keep finding out what that is, right? I want to know what that looks like today, what God is doing in my life, and I want to keep pushing on in faith to find out what he's going to do in my life tomorrow, the day after, and the day after. And so if you look at me at 2 Corinthians 5, start with me in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Before we go any further, let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reality that there is relationship restored between us and between you. We thank you that an almighty God saw fit to create human beings, to desire to have relationship to it with them. And Lord, despite the fact that we messed up that relationship, that sin came in, selfishness came in, Lord, you still did a wonderful work through the demonstration of the life of Jesus Christ to teach us what it means to know you, to draw closer to you, to be somebody who works with you for your glory, Lord, in this world, works as an ambassador, works as somebody created in the image of God to display the love of God to the world around us. And so as we go through these passages, Lord, just help us to see what it is that you've done, how you transform our lives through what Jesus Christ has done, what you've called us to, Lord, what you've restored us back to, the thing that you always created for us to do. So as we just think about where is our faith? What is our faith? And what does it mean to be people of faith? More importantly, what does it mean to be people of God, representatives of God in this world, people bearing the image of God in this world? As we think on that idea, Lord, just open our hearts and minds. Let your spirit be at work. Lord, let it be at work through the words that come from your word. But Lord, let it also be at work in the hearts of everybody who hears it. As the words come into our hearts, help us to think about how these things can apply in our day-to-day life, and that we can be more effective ambassadors for you and better, Lord, friends or neighbors or whatever relationship you've put into our life, help these things to be active in those areas where you've placed us, the spaces you've put us into in this world, Lord. So we just commit this time and commit these words to you and ask for these things in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so a couple of things. As we read through this passage, was there, oh, thanks, man, I appreciate that. Look at this fancy glass, it's like a little paper cup. As we read through that passage, was there a word that repeated itself? Anybody notice the word that repeats itself in this passage? Anybody pick up what it was? You can say it if you saw it. Starts with an R. R, reconciled. Reconciled. Okay. Anybody want to take a stab? And just, you don't have to get this right. There's not really a right answer to this. What is, I guess there's definitely a wrong answer, but there's multiple right answers. What does reconcile mean to you? But David? Selling accounts. Okay, yes, that is a very good way of looking at it. What else does reconcile mean to you? You hear that word, or if you use that word, what does it mean to you? Reconcile. Okay, very good. Yes, yes, restoring relationships. What else? Anybody else have another way of looking at it besides those two? That's okay. Those two actually pretty much sum up the two ways to look at this word. Originally, the word in the Greek, when it's used in the New Testament, it means the selling of accounts. It's a financial term to be like, okay, there's money owed here. Until that money is paid, there's going to be an outstanding debt, and now we've settled that up, and everything is settled. But in a bigger sense, it also had like a military connotation. You know, there's two groups of people that are at odds with each other. There is conflict. And now once reconciliation gets made, right, now relationship has been restored, right? War is not the output now between these two people groups. Rather, it's now trade can take place again, right? Maybe even allyship can take place. Even bigger in the more modern sense, the word, if you Google it, the dictionary definition is to restore friendly relationship, to make friends again. That's what it says here that Jesus Christ, God was doing through Jesus Christ in the world. I'll give you a practical example from my own personal life. When I grew up in Tampa, Florida. That's where I grew up. And I lived on a street, and there was actually on my street or right behind our street, there was a bunch of guys. We were all the same age, and every day we would hang out together. We were all very close. We would, in Florida, it's hot, but we have swimming pools. You can be outside almost every single day of the year, and that's what we would do. Ride our bikes to each other's houses, ride our bikes all over the neighborhood, and right across the street from me, I had a friend named Tyler, and Tyler and I were very close. the only thing about Tyler was he had a little bit of a temper, okay? He was an only child. He was used to getting his way more often than not, and sometimes he had a little bit of a temper. And one day it was really hot. Oh, the cool thing about Tyler was that Tyler was always the first to get the new gaming system. He had like the first N64, he had the first Xbox, right? His parents would buy him these things. And also what was cool about Tyler is his parents let him have soda. Do you guys call it pop or you call it soda? What do you call it up here? Pop, okay. But you know what soda is, right? It's pop. Okay, so anyway, they had a whole fridge. They had a whole fridge in the garage that had sodas in it, and we could just take it. We didn't have to ask. My parents didn't let me have soda in the house. It was for special occasions. So it was really hot one day. We were all out there doing things. I went in the fridge, and there weren't many sodas left. There's a cream soda. I don't really like cream soda. And so I took the cream soda, and I drank it, didn't think anything of it. And about 5 minutes later, Tyler goes for a drink, and he comes out, and he says, "Who took the last cream soda?" And he's mad. Tyler, when he would get mad, his face, Tyler and I are still good friends to this day, so it's okay for me to tell this story in case you're wondering. His face would get bright red. He would shake a little bit too. Tyler was like, we were probably 11 or 12. See, the other thing too is I'm 6'5". I'm very tall, all right? When we were in sixth grade, I like had hit my growth spurt. I think in like sixth, seventh grade, I was like 6'2", something around there. Tyler was like 5'1", 5'2". He like hit his growth spurt last. So we were a huge size difference here. And so anyway, so Tyler was so mad. And I said, you know what? I'm not even going to be intimidated by this guy. I took the last cream soda. It was me. And he got so mad. And he started yelling at me. We got into a huge argument. I couldn't believe how mad he was. This is so uncalled for. We got into a huge argument, got into a fight. And then I just went home and walked. I just went home and left and went into my bedroom. Like 10 minutes later, my sister comes to me. And she's like, hey, she's like, Tyler's at the door. He wants to talk to you. So I go to the door. See, I was like, what does he have to say to me about this cream soda incident? And so anyway, so I walked to the door, and there he is. He says, hey man, it was just a cream soda, right? It wasn't that big of a deal. This doesn't end our friendship. There's nothing here. He said, I want you to come. I'm sorry I got mad. I want you to come hang out with us again, and we'll put it behind. And that's exactly what we did. That's reconciliation, right? There was an odd, something came in between us. And Tyler made the step to go and say, hey, this thing is not big enough that it should come in between our relationship. This is something we can overcome. We can go back to being friends, right? We can hang out together. We can be on the same sports team. We can do all these different things that we did. This thing should not, it's not big enough to come in between us. And that's kind of the way I like to frame the idea of reconciliation according to the way the Bible teaches it, specifically 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We as human beings, right? We were created by God. We were created, we'll look at that in a minute back in Genesis. We were created for special relationship with God. But sin disrupts that. Sin is what causes us to say, I want to do things my own way, right? You all know this. I want to do things separate from the way that God has instructed us to do things, right? I want to treat people the way I want to treat people. I want to see myself as better than other people. That's a mentality that manifests itself in different ways in our lives, right? And God said, despite their sin, this is not a big enough thing that it can interrupt eternally or permanently my relationship with human beings. So he set out about, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile, restore relationship, or to redeem us. Redemption, redeem, meaning to buy back. All these words, redemption, reconciliation, restore, they all start with the prefix R-E, right? Re, okay? Re implies that there was something before, and now we are restoring, right? Making something better again. Redeeming, buying something back. Reconciling, making friendship again. And the use of these words implies that something existed before this. So when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's not talking about necessarily this brand new creation, right? In a certain sense, he is, but he contrasts it. It's a new creation as opposed to the old. We as human beings, our lives exist, right? We are born, right? But we are born into a world that is sinful. Because of that, we grow up in a sinful world. We learn certain realities. We learn to protect ourselves from these things. Right? We learn to take advantage of these things. We see the realities of sin around us, we grow up in them, and we begin to use them in our own lives. We begin to take these things and say, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. And oftentimes, these things teach us to be selfish. They teach us to do things at the expense of others. This is not the way of God. Right? This is not what he wants for his creation, but it's a reality of the world that we live in. He wants to show us a better way. right? He wants to restore us. He wants to make us right through right in relationship with him. And that's the idea we get here from these things. So there, it's contrasted here. Those who come into Christ, they are a new creation. The old creation has passed away. And that's what Jesus Christ does in our lives. And so I really want to think about that. And then there's also this reality here too. It says not only has he made us this new creation, it says he's given to us a ministry. I think that's important for us too. So in 18, we have all things that now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Those of us who know him are now in friendly relationship. If we are reconciled, past tense, we are now in friendly relationship with God. Those of us who know Jesus Christ. And so to each one of us, it says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The work that Jesus Christ set out to do, showing us what it looks like to be reconciled to God, to be in relationship with God, accomplishing that through his death and his resurrection. Now that ministry, it says, has been entrusted to us, okay? And I want to think about that too as well. And I think a big way of looking at all this, and by the way, not only that, it's the word us there, okay? There's a group thing here. There's a group, a body of believers that God has entrusted this work to. Being given the ministry of reconciliation is not some personal mission,